This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Shouning and Noel. Now, this morning, it's 7:16, Tuesday the 3rd of March, and in about half an hour, we're going to be speaking with O.E. Sun, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, and to unpack Tan Sri Muhyiddin's first speech as Prime Minister. But in the meantime, we are taking a look this morning at Khazanah, because Khazanah Nasional has seen a turnaround in its financial performance. They posted a record profit of 7.4 billion ringgit for financial year 2019 against a loss of 6.3 billion in 2018.
Yeah, so, the higher profits is driven by higher divestment gains, lower impairments and robust portfolio returns. In terms of divestments, I think just looking at what they've done, Khazanah has divested about some of their stakes in IHH, also in Alibaba, as well as Tenaga Nasional as well, and also I think some foreign investments too. So I guess that was part of that cleanup process that Shahril, the MD, had wanted to do.
Yeah, and during the year, Khazanah reduced its expenses by 28% to 484 million ringgit. And they did that by moving themselves out of KLCC, I believe, and also closing certain international offices, in particular London. So the fund further strengthened its financial position with a 17% reduction in debt to 45.8 billion ringgit, while reliable asset value cover improved to 3 times from 2.4 times.
Yeah, so as at the end of 2019, the commercial fund's net asset value stood at 73.1 billion ringgit, while the strategic fund achieved an overall return of 2.9%. So the fund achieved a resolution on Plus Malaysia's toll restructuring, which did see an 18% reduction in toll rates on Plus Highways and savings of 42 billion ringgit over the new concession period ending 2058, as well as to Plus shareholders and the EPF. So going forward, its managing director, Dato' Shahril Rizza Rizwan, has said that this year is going to be particularly challenging as an already uncertain global economy has been further impacted by the ongoing COVID-19 spread.
Yeah, so also for the Malaysian Airlines, which they have stakes in, they have evaluated options. And I think a total of 9 proposals were received, but only 4 will be shortlisted. Now, with the new governments, right, coming in, Prime Minister Muhyiddin, I wonder now whether all these proposals will be re-looked again. And, because Malaysia Airlines, whatever we say about it, it is the national carrier and there are some political considerations.
Yeah, and interestingly, when Pakatan Harapan came to government in May 2018, there was a radical shakeup within Khazanah itself. At that time, all 9 board members, including the managing director, Tan Sri Azman Mokhtar, resigned from the board. And we then saw Datuk Shahril come into position of power. So, you know, as usual, is there going to be policy continuity is the big question Marco will be asking.
I think, you know, Prime Minister Muhyiddin, if I look at his speech, it feels like there's a sense of some continuity, but there will be some things maybe like the B40 where we're going to see more goodies. But I feel that, the last thing you want to do is now make change again after just like 1 year plus, right?
Especially with this economic uncertainty over COVID-19, a lot of question marks there, right? In terms of how our Malaysian economy is going to do, how their overseas investments will also pair out.
Yeah, and around the world, central banks and observers have started to lower their expectations for GDP growth in the countries amid this COVID-19 outbreak. And here in Malaysia, we have the COVID-19 outbreak, and we also do have the political uncertainty that I don't think we've actually seen. We can actually say with full confidence that we know exactly what's going to happen in the next few weeks, because we don't have a manifesto from the new government. We haven't had any indications in the way of cabinet appointments. So there are still a lot of question marks surrounding Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, who was sworn in as Malaysia's 8th Prime Minister on Sunday. Now, the thing about this though is that Tan Sri Muhyiddin's tenure is going to also be tested as when Parliament is scheduled to resume next week, because there is talk that a motion of no confidence could be tabled. So Muhyiddin's support among the 222 MPs in the Dewan Rakyat has been questioned by Tun Dr Mahathir Mohamad, who claimed over the weekend that Mahathir had the support of at least 112 MPs.
So there is also a possibility the Parliament sitting could be postponed. While the sitting is scheduled for March 9 next week, the King has not yet issued the summons for it, and it can be postponed by him on the advice of the Prime Minister, who is Tan Sri Muhyiddin.
So for more on this, we speak to Lim Wei Jiat, constitutional lawyer. And Wei Jiat also sits on the Bar Council's Constitutional Law Committee. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Wei Jiat. So how long can the parliamentary sitting actually be delayed?
According to Article 55 of the Constitution, there is a six-month period which is permissible from the last sitting to the current sitting. So, in other words, there can be a six-month delay. So, the last parliamentary session was in November 2019. So, in theory, the Prime Minister can advise the Argonne to delay the sitting of Parliament until May 2020.
So, what reasons can the government delay the sitting?
Well, technically, there isn't a particular reason that the government needs to offer to justify a delay, but I would imagine that the Prime Minister would need to explain to the Rakyat why the 9th March parliamentary sitting should not continue. I will not want to speculate, but on the Constitution alone, the prerogative lies in the Prime Minister, and there's no need to provide a reason for a delay.
And Wei Jiat, if there is a delay, can action be taken against the government for doing so?
Well, action can be taken in the sense that the Rakyat can protest. The Pakatan Harapan and Mahathir faction can make arguments that, you know, the government should not shirk away from testing its confidence in Parliament. Those are the public pressures that can be placed upon Muhyiddin to call for a parliamentary session or to proceed on the 9th of March. But other than that, it is entirely the Prime Minister's prerogative under the Constitution.
Now, Wei Jiat, we've had a number of questions over these past few days from our listeners expressing concern over the state of Parliament itself, particularly in the role of a speaker. So the question that's been posed to us and that we're now posing to you is, how easy would it be to replace the speaker with someone who is perhaps of a more friendly disposition to the current government?
It's not easy to replace a speaker. So conventionally and under the standing orders, a speaker can only be elected every general election, at the end of every general election, and the speaker normally occupies that office until the parliament is dissolved and the next general election is called. But conventionally, if there is a vote of no confidence against the speaker, namely that the simple majority of MPs vote against the speaker and would want another speaker to occupy the office, then the speaker would ordinarily need to resign from his office. Alternatively, the Prime Minister could pressure the speaker to resign on his own volition. But in essence, you need a simple majority in Parliament to vote the speaker out.
So it seems to me, tactically, if Tun Mahathir or Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim want to call for this vote of no confidence and so forth, it would be actually quite difficult because there's a lot of things that is really based on the Prime Minister's discretion on when the Parliament or if the Parliament should have a sitting.
In that sense, yes. In the sense that the Prime Minister can delay Parliament and hence delay the vote of no confidence. In the event the Prime Minister does not do so, then the prerogative lies on the Speaker to allow the vote of no confidence to take place. And because a vote of no confidence goes to the very legitimacy of the government, I would imagine that it's a matter of utmost priority, and the Speaker would place it on the very first item on the agenda whenever Parliament convenes.
So, Wei-Jet, you've mentioned the Speaker of the House many times. Break it down for us. What is his role in all this, actually?
Well, the role of the Speaker is to basically preside over the Dewan Rakyat. He determines the order in which bills or motions are to be debated. He gives room, ideally equal room, for the government and opposition to air their views and to debate. And he ensures, you know, a fair, transparent proceedings goes on in Parliament. So the role of Speaker is quite important, especially at this time of constitutional and political crisis, particularly when a vote of no confidence is lingering in the air. And I would imagine that Tan Sri Arif, as a very fair and wise judge during his time in the bench, would also be a very fair speaker and allow adequate room for this kind of motion to be debated and voted upon.
So is he supposed to be politically neutral?
Yes, a speaker is supposed to be politically neutral. I think in the past administrations, that element may be a bit lacking. But as I said, Tan Sri Arif was a very fair and credible judge. And throughout the 22 months, he has been primarily fair and independent in that sense. So I have faith and confidence that the current speaker would be able to preside over this crisis in a very fair manner.
So looking at this, right, so Dato Sri Anwar Ibrahim had said he's considering taking legal action. But does he have any grounds for that? And what are his options for, you know, taking any legal means?
I would assume that legal action means bringing the current government to court on the basis that it does not have, the Tan Sri Muhyiddin does not have confidence in the majority of parliament. So technically, Dato Sri Anwar Ibrahim can do so because every legal power has its limits. And if a decision has been made to appoint Tan Sri Muhyiddin on a basis which is incorrect, then there is room to go to court to ventilate the same.
All right. Well, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Wei-Jet. That was Lim Wei-Jet, constitutional lawyer, giving us a bit of insight into the role of the Speaker of the House, as well as constitutionally how long a parliamentary sitting could be delayed, because that's one of the questions surrounding this prospective March 9th parliamentary sitting. Now, Wei-Jet did raise the point that Tan Sri Arif Yusof does have a reputation as being very fair and being quite independent. And I think we did see that over the last week's political turmoil, when he came out to rebut Prime Minister Tun Mahathir, interim Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir, about a special parliamentary sitting.
On 2nd March, right?
On the 2nd of March at that time. So one can hope that he will be able to continue in his position for the remainder of the tenure until GE15. But as Wei-Jet said, you know, that does remain somewhat to be seen. But right now we have the 7:30 news bulletin coming up for you, and then after that we're going to be looking into more fascinating news, including the US Taliban. So be sure to stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.